Welcome back. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we did kick off a brand new series that we're calling Taboo. We're talking about some of those just difficult cultural conversations or criticisms of the Bible or of the Christian faith in general, that sometimes it feels like they're so sensitive you can't even talk about them, right? That they're taboo. You just don't bring it up, don't talk about it. And so we're saying, hey, let's talk about it. And so this past week, we were looking at this concept of violence and this question around, does the Bible or Christianity in general encourage violence or condone violence? And specifically kind of went back to the Old Testament and the conquest of Canaan, where God commands the people of Israel to go into the promised land and to take it by force, to expel the people of Canaan out of those areas. And sometimes that happens very violently, sometimes because of the people of God acting in ways that were contrary to what God told them to do. But then other times where it's, you know, seems God is the one, God is saying, hey, no, you are to wipe this city out top to bottom. And I think for a lot of people, we read that and say, you know, I know the character of God, that God says in Ezekiel that he does not delight in the death of the wicked, right? That he would rather they turn and repent. You see in Proverbs where it says, right, don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. And you read all the words of Jesus, and one of the most repeated statements in the Old Testament, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And you say, you know, how do those two things fit? And so we kind of walked through on Sunday that, you know, context certainly does help. You start reading into ancient warfare, the evil of the Canaanites, some of the things that the Canaanite people did, I can't even share with you. I had to literally plug my ears listening to a podcast this week on listening to certain aspects of Canaanite culture and they would sacrifice their children in these rituals and some of their sexual practices. And so God's pretty clear in the Old Testament that this is not like a random killing. It is God divinely punishing, right? Justly punishing the sin of the Canaanites. And he's using Israel as his instrument for doing that. In fact, he tells the Israelites at one point in time, I am not giving you the land because you guys are so awesome. He says, I'm giving you the land because the Canaanites have sinned. Their sin is so great, in a sense. And the Hebrew language in the scriptures is the idea that the land is literally vomiting them out, that it can't take it anymore, right? That it's spitting out the Canaanites because of their wickedness. But one of the things I said on Sunday that I'll say again now is just that, you know, the context helps us to understand different time period, different world, and different context, but it doesn't solve every tension. I think you still come away, many of us, you know, modern readers come away going, hey, I don't fully understand all of God's purposes here, or what's happening here, and how this, you know, kind of fits with God's character. And so it's one of those times that I think you do press up against this, do I have to have an intellectually and emotionally satisfying answer to every question I have in order to trust the Lord? Is God trustworthy here? And sort of squaring with the reality that, okay, God is God and I am not. And I think sometimes we feel like, I don't like that answer. But I do think that's an important truth for all of us to just square with and to face. I think about the book of Job, right, where Job is suffering and he doesn't understand why. And towards the end of the book, kind of calls God down to the stand, or attempts to. And God is gracious to Job and kind to Job, but also there's, you know, God, I'm paraphrasing here, but God kind of tells Job, I'm God and you are not. You are man. And we don't call God down to the stand and say, you owe me an explanation. He doesn't. And he doesn't owe us anything. And God he's God. He's the creator of all life, and he has authority over all life and death. He gives and he takes away. And I try not to say that lightly, but to say that the Bible does clearly teach that, and the reality is God is God. And so there are going to come times where we say, hey, I'm reading this, or I'm experiencing this in life, and I don't fully understand what's going on here. And in those moments, I think we say, man, I can either sit, I can try to sit in judgment of God, or I can trust God. And I can say, God, I believe you are trustworthy. And I'm going to let this kind of tension hold. I'm going to hand this, put this into your hands and say, Lord, I trust you. I know that you're good. I know that you are both just and loving, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so even if I don't have the answers that I want right now or I don't fully understand, I am going to trust you. And then I closed on Sunday, and I'll close this way here just by saying, look, there are difficult passages, I think, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, by the way, right? Revelation is violent at times. Jesus talked about hell and judgment more than anyone else. So it's not like there's this massive difference in the Old Testament versus the New. But we do see in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, he starts a new relationship for us with God. And he inaugurates the kingdom. And the Bible says that Jesus is the fullest picture of who Jesus, of who God is. Jesus is the fullest revelation of who God is. And I think it's significant that in inaugurating the kingdom, in saying the kingdom is here, Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 5, just a few readings right from the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. He goes on to say, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. Not only do I not think that the Bible or Christianity encourages or leads to violence, I think the opposite. I think if we will humbly walk with God and take seriously what Jesus says and by his grace do those things, we go out and we bless when we're cursed. We forgive those who've hurt us as we have been forgiven. We love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and we seek for peace. The church has the opportunity to be the greatest force in the world, not for violence, but for the opposite, right? Seeking and encouraging peace and reconciliation. Let me pray for us, and then I will encourage you to take some time just to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're consistent, your character, Father, from start to finish, same God of the Old Testament as in the New Testament, that you are both just and loving, punishing sin and willing to forgive in and through the person and the work of Jesus. God, we love you. Help us to love those around us as you have loved us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.